Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V20 6-Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Stop by your nearest Lowe's store and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Joseph Sternberg of the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal. He's in London. He writes the political economics column. And he is identifying something that I'd forgotten about of the Biden administration, thinking, I don't know, I didn't have a clear understanding of where it went. The global tax. You will recall there were many trips overseas by Janet Yellen, the Secretary of the Treasury for 4 years for Mr. Biden, in which invariably in the news story as she returned to America, there had been conversations with our allies, with others, about a global tax. And it had something to do with Ireland, an Apple company that was using Ireland as a way to avoid certain taxes that would otherwise have been levied on this very successful company all across Europe. But the details were all scrambled in my memory until I read Joe's most recent column. Joseph, a very good evening to you. The big, beautiful Tax Bill Act that Mr. Trump is waiting for to sign if the Senate approves has in it concerns about the global tax. As I understand it now, we need to talk about Pillar 1 and Pillar 2. What is the global tax as administered by the OECD? Those are the European allies belonging to the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. Good evening to you, Joe.
Hey, John. So, I mean, as you just pointed out, the thing that we're talking about here is a provision of the One Big Beautiful Bill Act that is being called Section 899, which would introduce a new retaliatory tax on foreign governments that impose what the bill describes as unfair foreign taxes on U.S. companies. So we can talk a little bit more about Section 899 in a moment. The key point is that this has triggered an enormous freak out in the financial press and parts of Wall Street that are all unhappy about this alleged Trump protectionist tax and how it's going to be a tax on foreign investment in the U.S. And it fits in with the Trump protectionism. And the key words that you keep hearing are Trump and protectionism and Trump and protectionism. And the key point here is actually, as you pointed out, John, the story starts years ago, and predates Trump or his current term. We have to go back to the Biden administration. And at that point, the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, which is kind of a club of the governments of big developed economies, was working on a project where they wanted to harmonize global corporate taxes. The thing that they were really upset about, the countries like Ireland and a few others had very low corporate tax rates, and this was encouraging large global companies to locate their headquarters in those countries so that they could avail of these low corporate tax rates. And so for years, there had been negotiations under various efforts to try to crack down on this by forcing those countries to increase their tax rates or by creating new opportunities for other governments to tax those same companies, regardless of where they were based. And so the OECD had been leading these efforts, and they didn't really go anywhere until the Biden administration came along. And then in the mid-2021, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen signed up for this thing. And the OECD agreement that she signed up for had two parts. There was a Pillar 1, which contemplated a form of excess profits tax on large multinational companies, mainly in the tech and pharma industries, mainly American, because they really wanted to go after those sweet, sweet Google and Apple profits, if you were France or Germany. And then there was a much more complicated Pillar 2, which was going to impose a global alternative minimum corporate tax. And to describe describe this as a Rube Goldberg mechanism would actually make it seem simpler than it actually is. But, you know, the whole point was that this effort hadn't gone anywhere until the Biden administration signed up for it. And we're now in the situation where, although Janet Yellen signed on the dotted line, Congress never approved of it, and congressional Republicans especially didn't approve of it. And despite those warning signs, a bunch of countries, particularly in Europe, have started implementing taxes that are consistent with both Pillar 1 and Pillar 2 of this OECD process. And so that's where this retaliatory provision in the One Big Beautiful Bill Act comes in, where congressional Republicans are trying to say, oh no, you don't. We haven't signed up for this global deal, and we want to discourage other countries from doing it.
There's a story within a story here. Our allies in the OECD, I read in your column, did not understand or were not informed adequately that Janet Yellen wasn't the government. She was a member of the executive branch that needed Congress's approval of all tax matters. Did I read you correctly, Joe, that London and Paris and Berlin didn't understand?
Yeah, so I think that there were a couple big misunderstandings here. The first is, I mean, the reality is, if you are a foreign government who wants to negotiate anything about tax policy with the U.S., don't bother inviting the Treasury Secretary. The person you need to invite is whoever is the chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, because that's the person and the committee that will actually be in charge of deciding what the U.S. tax law will be. So I think that there was a misunderstanding of how the U.S. Legal or, you know, lawmaking or tax writing process works. And then I think that people didn't understand that Janet Yellen was trying to use this OECD process to bully Congress. So, you know, her assent to this global tax thing was all part of this really complicated political maneuvering that the Biden administration was doing to try to bully Congress into approving increases in the U.S. corporate tax rate. Because remember, back at that time, you know, the administration wanted to increase the corporate tax rate to 28% from 21%. And they were really afraid that Congress was going to object that this would make American taxes uncompetitive. And so Yellen thought that if she could get the OECD to agree to this minimum tax plan, she would then be able to persuade Congress to accept the tax policy that the Biden administration wanted. And it ended up being a total failure both ways around, because first off, no sooner had she said that the U.S. supported this OECD plan in principle, then the OECD negotiators started changing the plan. And so when she signed up, they thought that the minimum tax rate would be 21%. That eventually got cut to 15% globally. So this was not going to solve her political problem of persuading the Congress. And then the Congress was never really persuadable anyway. So we've ended up with the worst of all possible worlds, no matter who you are, because and your perspective, because the U.S. has signed up for this global deal that didn't even accomplish the wonky political objective that Janet Yellen thought that she was going to get.
What did France, to be very specific, what did France get out of this? Did it think that Apple was going to pay it money?
Well, I think what a lot of European countries, particularly France, Germany, and the UK, thought that they were going to get out of this was two things. First off, they thought that they were going to get new abilities to tax those ultra-successful American companies. And in fact, parallel to this, and one of the taxes that Congress now is threatening to punish in the One Big Beautiful Bill Act are all of these digital services taxes that they have implemented. Now, this is a form of the kind of tax that the OECD Pillar 1 would create, that excess profits tax on big global companies. And the particular thing that they want to charge is the revenues, not just the profits, that companies like Google and Meta and a bunch of the others, the revenues that they earn on their sales in Europe, not just their profits. And it's because it's this enormous tempting tax revenue base that these governments have wanted to take a crack at. And then the other objective that these big taxing European governments wanted is that they wanted to cut down on tax competition from jurisdictions like Ireland. I mean, Ireland's ultra-low corporate tax rates had been a thorn in the side of the rest of the European Union for many years. And so they thought that this process would be a way of, you know, quote-unquote, fixing that problem. So that has been the objective here. And they thought it was this enormous boon when they got Janet Yellen to sign up for it, not understanding the danger that she could not bring Congress along behind her.
I think I also understand another twist here. Mm-hmm. 899, let's speak to that. 899 is meant to be a punishment if, and it starts at what, 5%? It can accelerate to 20%. But 899, if, is important here. Is it about Mr. Trump and his confiscatory tariffs, or is it about the OECD's idea of a global tax? It predates Mr. Trump, so it couldn't have been, it couldn't be, I mean, the OECD tax predates Mr. Trump. So what is 899 meant to retaliate about?
Well, so this is where I think that a lot of the reporting in the financial press has been very misleading, if not downright inaccurate about some of this. If you actually read the text of the legislation, it is very narrowly tailored at foreign taxes that have key characteristics of these two OECD pillars that Congress has always objected to. So when they're defining what an unfair foreign tax is, it's limited to things like the digital service taxes that fall under Pillar 1 of the OECD process. And it is restricted to certain characteristics of the Pillar 2 that separate those from other taxes. There's a technical example of something called the undertaxed profits rule. I won't bother explaining what that is because it would probably bore listeners to tears, but this is a key feature of OECD Pillar 2. And Section 899 in the One Big Beautiful Bill Act focuses on this kind of tax rule as a way of distinguishing which are the Pillar 2 taxes that Congress wants to punish here. Now, when they are defining an unfair foreign tax, they exclude explicitly a lot of other things, including a lot of foreign taxes that Donald Trump has complained about. So, yeah, Donald Trump has complained that Europe's consumption taxes, their value-added taxes, are unfair to American companies. But that's not covered. Congress says they're not including that in this bill. So it is very narrowly focused on, you know, these OECD-related taxes. And this bill predates Trump. I mean, this legislative language has been knocking around for a couple years. Republicans in Congress warned European leaders that they would do this. In fact, a delegation from Congress came to Europe in autumn of 2023. They visited Paris and Berlin. They tried to warn anyone who would listen that if Republicans got control of the government in the U.S. again, they would impose this kind of retaliatory tax. The problem is that not enough people over here paid attention to them.
Right now, Joseph, 899 doesn't happen unless the OECD insists upon a global tax. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, there are a couple solutions here. In terms of the Pillar 2 taxes, a very easy solution is for other governments, particularly the European Union, to say, you know what? The U.S. isn't a tax haven. Right. You know, we're not solving that problem. So if you pay U.S. tax as a company, we will just exempt you from this.
Right.
So that's a quick fix. And then get rid of the digital service taxes that violate existing tax treaties anyway.
Joseph Sternberg, helping me to understand what happened to Janet Yellen's better idea, the global tax from the Biden administration. He is a member of the editorial board of The Wall Street Journal. He's in London. That's the important part, because when we come back, winter fuel payments, they're now the story in London. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Lowe's knows you want the best for dad. This Father's Day, help him take on any project with big deals on DeWalt. Right now, get a free XR 8 amp hour battery when you buy select DeWalt tools. That's not all. Get up to 2 free select tools when you buy a select DeWalt 20-volt max battery kit. Maximum initial battery voltage measured without a work load is 20 volts. Nominal voltage is 18.